heroes put the question to the tiefling known as Sinemi. She was a wanted criminal in Absalom, and now imprisoned by Erevian for failing in her task to capture and return with Carmen Rajani. The why was unknown, but the heroes opted not to trust her at her word and shackled her once more until they had time to deal with her. The deep gnome, Glash Dramdur, joined them in their fight as thanks for saving his life and hoping to find a way into the Darklands and to his home. Pressing on, the heroes found a room that is empty, save for doors in every direction, and a strange glowing light at the center of the ceiling. Izori, touching the light, accidentally set off an alarm and a trap that attempted to paralyze them all for capture. That was when the southern door opened and two flesh warps stepped through. A Molven Tok and an unfamiliar, misshapen humanoid. The latter recognized what could only be a chance of escape and turned on its comrades, barking words of rebellion at a final looming creature, a devilish construct of twisted metal known as a Leveloch. This betrayer helped the heroes and itself in striking down these foes. Could this lump of a creature be yet another ally or enemy?
Hello there, creatures and denizens of the North. James here with a favor to ask of you. We want you to go out and tell a friend about one of our shows. Word of mouth is so important for a burgeoning network like ours, and each and every one of you can help us grow just by mentioning one of our shows to a friend, a game master, or someone on the street with a cool shirt. We'd also like to remind you that we've got a free public Discord where some of our most dedicated fans hang out at unchartednorth.com/discord, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you really like what we do, you can help us create these shows and get some cool rewards in the process at patreon.com/unchartednorth. That's it. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
By the time today's episode reaches the airwaves, it will have already been discussed in the Discord. However, you've yet to do it on air, and especially in character, let's address the elephant in the room. Cam's joined us.
Is that because I'm huge?
Hey, 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 hey.
What?
Because you're a Republican.
I'm what?
One of those things is more offensive.
You know what?
Than the other.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Bang, 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 bang.
Damn, dunk.
Self-burn followed up by a dunk burn.
I mean, honestly, it's better than calling me a liberal.
And those are laughed himself to frozen.
Gunshots ringing out all the way from Taos.
Oh, wait, I think I hear some. No, I'm just kidding. It's not like that out here.
Cam, welcome yes. to the show.
Howdy,
excited to have you.
Me. Oh, I'm excited to be here.
Anyone else excited or just kind of passe about it?
Whatever.
I'm pretty mid.
Yeah.
You are pretty mid, Scott.
No. Joking aside, I am very excited for Cam to be joining us and bringing a fun new character in the mix.
Yeah, something on the darker side of things, that's for sure.
I'd be more excited if they didn't have mouths for eyes, but...
Come on.
It's pretty unnerving. Pretty unnerving.
That always gets me in a way that that just makes me super uncomfortable. I really don't care for it. Teeth are weird already, and to put them in different spots makes them extra weird for me.
No, James, just wait till they start eating. Just wait till they start eating.
I'm also interested to see how min-maxy Cam is going on this, because they are known to be
a filthy min-maxer.
Yeah, munchkin? filthy munchkin min-maxer.
I'm born the war priest, so not that min-maxed.
Playing one of the least favorite builds class types, yeah, according to the community, but certainly making the most of it, as far as I can tell already.
Yeah, that was that character was just a beast in that fight. I'm very impressed at the war priest you managed to put together. It was the one I managed to put together at third level was just fucking useless.
Yeah, it's you basically build a war priest like a paladin, but with a little bit more spells. And that's basically how you build a war priest. Mm-hmm. Like, you want strength, con, and charisma, and then you get the heaviest armor and the shield that you can get.
Yeah, I didn't go with the heavy armor, and that's always a mistake, because there's this thing in my head still, and I don't know how long it's going to live there, but you can't cast spells in armor, and it just keeps preventing, like pressing down. Like, there's no fucking reason Azori is in explorer's clothing and not in, like, hide armor, other than the fact that when I was building her, I went, oh, you can't cast spells in armor. You got the spellcasting penalty. But nope, right. That's the wrong addition.
Yeah, and that was only for arcane spells. Divine spells didn't ever have that.
Yeah, that's true.
In any case, Cam could be playing a mime, and it would probably be beneficial to the party because y'all been three for a while, and it's been rough lately. So I think whatever Cam brings to the table here is going to be pretty fun, regardless.
Oh, Freeman saying he wished I didn't speak.
Yeah.
It would make editing
and
easier.
Also, it was a backhanded compliment because really it's just less work for Freeman having to change the encounter levels. So
that was going to be my next point, is that Cam joined us on the heels of Freeman's tirade about how difficult it is to balance for three players.
I mean, yeah, sort of. You guys were a level ahead and getting wiped out in two hits already anyway. I wasn't even balancing it. It was just kicking your ass anyway, because you were down a body. There was nothing I could do. And like, especially those single target encounters, like the Urna Curse. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was brutal. And there was nothing really I could do about that fight. It's already permanently frightened, too. So it was definitely an inspiring moment to make this happen. Yeah.
having Cam along for the ride is going to be a boon to all of us, but I think more so than that, it's going to be a boon to the listeners. Those dulcet tones creeping into your ear holes every Monday.
Oh, baby.
Hello, listeners.
Drink it in, baby.
Oh, man. People are going to be having shivers as they're driving their car down the highway.
Where's the
don't
crash,
stay in the lane.
Bro.
Stay in the lane. Regardless, very excited to have you, Cam. Can't wait for more of whatever the hell this thing is. And I can't wait for you guys to roleplay and get into the dark side of things, of this character and the depths of this dungeon.
Speaking of fixing the encounters, let's roll in and fix these PCs up.
Oh man. Just
healing
terrible.
Segue.
all right, quickly, everyone gather around, and you watch as their arm just opens up, the muscle slides off to the side, and they reach in and pull out a healer's kit.
Who's first? Jesus Christ.
Azori steps up. She's not afraid.
She's not afraid. But that's not strictly true, because as soon as, I missed this flavor, but as soon as the level lock pulled out a new trident, the previous one crumbled to a pile of rust. And then that happened a couple times. And now that it's dead, the barbed net and the trident and its body just crumbles to rust.
Rust and shit, I believe. As
rust and and leftover shit from the
and she can still move in the net. She just had a status penalty.
But just want to throw it out there, because if you try to take it off, I was gonna make you do more damage as well, but it does crumble away.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so for my first roll, I roll a 4 for a 16 on the expert check, which is the DC 20. So everybody, Krukka and Azuri heal for 20. And while they do this, they're going to pull off their helmet, and you just see like a few strands of clumped up hair left on top, and it's just greasy and absolutely awful. Like, they haven't taken this helmet off in days. And then you watch as they like focus for a second while they're patching up your wounds, and a small Aeon stone pops out and starts rotating over their head. And it looks like you're awesome.
Kindred spirits.
Lump will look over at Tulak. Do you not have one of these?
No. No, I do not have one of those.
That's a shame. They're very popular, yeah. Very useful.
Doesn't fly that way. It's like the whole staff thing. Just doesn't like the aesthetic, so refuses to go with the mechanical advantage.
I said next time we're going into town, I was going to get one.
That's true. You did say that.
You did.
But I stick with the staff.
And yeah, so I'm going to do a couple more. Did Tulak get injured at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Who are you, creature? What is your name?
That'll heal Scott's for... name is pickup line.
they called me Lump.
But what is your name?
I don't really remember before. I have bits and pieces that come back to me at moments. I remember climbing out of a pile of corpses in a nation I don't recognize. And here's what I can tell you, that you're in a dangerous place. To the east over there, and they'll point over at the doors. There's going to be another one, another hallway, and it'll lead north to an intersection. May I ask what your business is in here?
To destroy Belcora.
You watch as their eye smiles, and they give you 2 TPDNs.
Weird.
good. It is good to hear that. May I ask your names?
My name is Sage Tulak, and Azori speaks correct. We are here to remove Belcora and Volok and all the other foul denizens of this place. And yes, sorry, this is Azori. I figured you would continue and say your full name there, not just leave me hanging.
To put it simple, I am Azori. I was born in Azori Sahar, and now I've taken the name Azori Al-Zayim Lansir.
A pleasure.
Even she has a hard time saying it.
I've never said it out loud before.
I think it goes without saying, I'm Krukka.
It did not. Thank you for saying it.
Glastramdur, at your service.
Oh,
that was an amazing splash of acid there, Glass. I thank you for your assistance.
Glash. But thank you.
And you watch as like a tongue pops out of one eye, like eye hole, and then out of the other eye hole, like trying to figure out how to say this right. If I ever go too
did
far,
did your voice echo?
Oh, it doesn't echo, but it's in stereo.
All sounds are already in stereo.
I know. There's a slight millisecond delay out of one mouth. No, I'm just...
Right.
Oh, I love it. Gross. I just love this weird conversation happening as you're like stitching everyone up. Did you heal Tulak?
Yeah, I healed for 30 and 19. And I Perfect. Assume with like 30 minutes, everyone else with the Spindly is back up.
Okay.
And
so how much time was that in total?
30.
Okay. Perfect.
But I can give you some information. I've been down here for and you just see like a wave of sadness pass over their face. Even with all of the weirdness going on there, like you can still recognize the slight sag in the shoulders. And if there's anything I can do to be of more assistance, I've kind of turned in my 2 weeks, as it were.
Well, why did you decide to do that today? How long have you been working for these people?
I've been down here for a very long time. Did y'all come through the gauntlet?
Yes. Yes, we did. Is that how you got here?
Yes. How are the kobolds doing?
The kobolds were long gone by the time we arrived. We saw traces of their death.
I see.
Through the spirits.
They were quite kind to me, I think.
Have you not been to the surface since then?
No. There have been moments where I thought to escape, but I feared recapture, and I also feared how the surface would look at me as I am now.
Were you flesh warped here?
And you see like a tear starting to form in their big eye before like kind of dropping down their chin as they just give a small nod.
Tulok places a hand on the shoulder of this creature, a kind of against his natural instincts, because this creature looks like something that usually would try to kill him and he would try to kill. So
yeah, kind of, yeah, that's been the trend. Yes.
As he raises his arm towards the shoulder, it kind of, you know, shakes a little bit and he kind of pulls it back, but then steals himself and puts it on his shoulder. You don't have to worry. If they are your enemy, then you are our friend. You can come with us. If you are scared to go to the surface, help us with your knowledge of this place. We look to rid it of evil. And clearly you are not that.
And Tulok here has told me stories of their defeats of one Jafaki, the being responsible for the flesh warping here. Perhaps you could take some small comfort in their demise.
You see the corners of their eye crinkle. And like when Tulok reached out and like touched them, they like almost recoiled for a moment, because nothing down here has touched them in a positive way like since they've been down here.
For reference too, you guys did your research on the town of Otari. The kobolds were ousted from Otari in the year 4310 by Makalani Menhemes. It is now 4721. So it's been a very long time.
I thought the kobolds had been driven out of Otari that long, but I thought that they were taken up in the gauntlet. That was why I went with that.
Oh, there were still some underground ones. Yeah. So I guess the point of reference is it's been... the last time you knew the kobolds had taken up residence in Otari was something like 300 to 400 years ago. That being said, there was some news not that long ago, i.e. in the Menace under Otari Beginner's Box,
spoilers,
that there were still some kobolds found underneath... found underneath Otari still. So... you have a wide range of reference here. This lump has no idea how long it's been underground, but the kobolds are part of it, so it could be anywhere, you know, between like the last few years or like decades or 300 or 400 years ago.
Okay.
Only Cam knows the truth because I forget what the answer is. but yeah, it's kind of a wide range, but kind of gives you an idea of like how long they may have been down here. Without ever having been touched in a positive manner, as Cam put it.
Don't make it weird.
Should we be hanging out in this room for 30 minutes?
No, we would have. I'm assuming we would have popped off into like my boss's old room.
The doors. You guys could. Yeah, you guys move into that room if you like. Lump would know that it's pretty, it's basically secure. So you get in and it's basically clearly an old prison block, but it's been turned into a makeshift barracks. So there are some makeshift cots and some foot lockers and such. So there's three along the western wall, these little cells that are like, they're actually chained open. And then various other goods laying around. There is one single door to the southwest of the room.
Would I have known what was in there?
You have only ever heard from the other denizens here that everyone believes whatever's behind the door is a haunted area.
And I'll see like Azori looking over at the door. Be careful. I've never looked myself, but there are rumors that it is haunted behind that door.
And with that, Tulok's ears perk up. He says, "Haunted, you say? I should take a look."
That's the rumor going at the water breaks.
At the water breaks.
I'm sorry. Maybe the vernacular has changed.
So Tulok will try the door, searching first if it's trapped or locked.
Yeah, you take a look at the door and give it the old heave-ho and inspection. And you don't detect anything. It doesn't appear to be locked.
He opens it.
Okay, you crack a door and you can see that it's basically looks like a small office that is full of just like dirt and grime and cobwebs. And it's like 10 by 15. An old desk inside. That's it.
It appears to be a small office. Many cobwebs.
Spooky.
And Tulok will step in. And he'll pull out that wand that he has. The like magic missile machine gun.
The manifold missiles.
That's right. And then steps in.
You step into the room and you hear this frightful moan. It's just like, "Get out!" And it like echoes in through your head. I need you to roll me a will save.
25.
You take 45 mental Jesus. Damage.
Yo!
And you immediately, without even thinking about it, just turn around and race out of the room with not of your own volition.
So Tulok kind of races out, and then there is a little chest in front of him there. He keels over with a hand on the chest and just, "Oh my god, there's something in there."
So everyone heard the moan in the room, but only Tulok heard the "get out."
It told me to get out in my head. Oh, it hurts so bad.
Shrek is going to look over like, "Well, that looks haunted," and start searching the walls around here for secret doors.
And start searching the walls.
Lump will look around at the group. Does he normally just do that after somebody warns him? Like, it'd be like me saying, "There's a trap on this panel right here," and then somebody stepping on it.
I don't think "normally" is a word you really want to worry about.
I see. And Lump will like beckon Tulok over and just arm opens up again and begins treating those wounds. Hold still.
He's checking his brain synapses for any damage.
Next, follow the tentacle.
This is not the first time we've run into haunt here. Generally, I've had much success in releasing the spirits to the boneyard. We'll have to see what happens with this one.
I see.
We could just leave it there. It doesn't seem to be in the way of anything.
That's true, Krakow.
If half of the stories you've told me are true, these haunts always seem to be guarding something of use. The portrait you carry with you, Tulok. That wand of fire suppression. Perhaps they too guard a treasure, but it is outside of my ability.
Not only is that true, Azori, but also we must not forget about the spirits and releasing them to the boneyard. They do not belong here. And that's what drives me. I want to make sure that they get the ending they deserve to their life cycle. This is just the beginning.
A happy ending in the boneyard.
Nothing belongs here. And she spits.
You are correct, Izori. Nothing belongs here.
She pulls up her sleeve and her this tattoo of a one of many begins to glow, and this black cat pounces out of it. Zamal, would you go check the office? And this black cat just trots over and into the office to see what happens.
Zamal? And this is the first time we've seen this cat, correct?
Yeah, you've like heard her talking to it over long rests and stuff like that, but it normally looks like she's talking to her wrist.
Never get a tattoo of your ex's name. Sleeve,
you actually see like a bunch of different, like the outline of animals up her arm. Interesting. And this is the latest, like it's the furthest down.
While they're doing that, Lump is going to put their shield on the ground and start etching into it a shape. But I want to know what happens to Zamal.
So you're sending your kitty cat in?
Yeah. Well, not in, like into the door. So Zamal, when I retrained this morning, Sammy, I gave it the soul sight ability, so it has life sense within 30 feet.
Okay. So it's life sense, okay. You only detect the life of your companions.
Okay. It will trot in then.
It trots in, and it's unmolested. No effects.
Okay. It trots out, rubs up against Izori's leg, and speaks with her, and she conveys to the rest of the party. It is an empty room for Sammy, so perhaps it only affects humanoids.
So,
I'm willing to check if you'd like.
Just wait. I have one more thing I'd like to try first, but thank you. I would like to try my new feat, consult the spirits. So, yes, that's right. When I chose this feat, I chose from nature, occultism, or religion, and I chose occultism. And so essentially what that does is it allows me to contact lingering spirits, psychic echoes of the departed dead, and spirits from beyond reality who tell me about things like strange auras, effects, or the presence of unnatural occult beings. So I have to spend 10 minutes and do and attempt a recall knowledge with the chosen skill. The DC is set by the GM, usually a very high DC for the level of the highest level creature you might encounter in the area. Okay, so varying degrees of success here. I'm going to start by doing a recall knowledge. Now, okay. Freeman, also, I don't know how you want to play this, whether I can talk to spirits in this area about the spirit in the room, or if this will call out the spirit in the room. That's up to you how you want to interpret that, okay?
Okay.
So 15 on the die for a 31. And I'm going to go with that.
And you contact nothing. No.
So that's nothing. A failure? So I have a critical success.
It's a recall knowledge. It's just technically a secret check, I think, because this is a recall knowledge, but yeah.
Tricky okay. Bastard.
Son of a bitch. You know,
frustrating.
Sure is. Yes, and behind the scenes like
show.
Nobody.
Behind the scenes show. Behind the scenes show. More patrons. More patrons.
Well, Kruk is not going fucking near that thing stupefied, and I don't know why you are either, because will saves are not too hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mine's still a plus 10.
Mine's a 16.
Okay, I guess Tulok will take a step back and say, well, I was really hoping that that would work, but I don't know.
Kruk is going to sarcastically use follow the expert, Adam.
You son of a bitch.
But yeah, so Lump will finish etching a symbol into their shield and pick it up and then go stand at the door to investigate, swapping places with Tulok.
And okay. Tulok allows Lump to pass. Be careful.
And then Lump will step through the door.
Sorry, is Lump undead?
No.
Lump steps through the door and is in an empty office.
I'd like to make a perception check to see if I spot anything that may have... Because we heard the moan.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, you can roll a perception. You notice it's so full of cobwebs, it's really hard to make out, even though it's a small room, like any detail across the room. So you know it's you're kind of struggling here with all the things in your way.
Okay, I will go ahead and shift my arm into a whip and just start wailing it through to knock off all the cobwebs.
Okay, so you just like your weird whip arm starts slapping the cobwebs down, and they crumble. There's lots of dust that's going into your mouth eye, but you clear the room reasonably well and do your best to take a little look around, but you don't see much of anything.
Okay. And Tulok just looks to see, did he set off some sort of trap or anything like that when he stepped into the room? Is there a pressure plate or anything?
Not that you noticed, no.
I hate to call you Lump, but was there anything in the desk?
No, I don't believe I searched the desk. I just looked around on the floor for anything that might be in here that caused that visceral of a reaction. I'll go back in and check, and Lump will go back in and start poking around in the desk.
Yeah, the desk appears to be completely devoid of anything of value or use or anything at all, really.
I don't like this.
Yeah. Sometimes things just don't go your way.
I thought you were going to say, sometimes two eyes are better than one. Someone else want to try?
No.
Tulok, I want to roll, like, a recall. Can I roll a recall knowledge on Lump?
Yeah, roll me an occultism.
33.
I mean, your gut instinct is what you were saying earlier. Normally, this is the sort of creature that would normally be trying to kill you and you it, especially recently. You're pretty sure that Lump is a flesh warp.
Not undead. Is there anything else that I would glean as if this was a... enemy?
Lump would be an aberration, as well as a humanoid.
You could make a religion check to see what kind of cleric they are.
That too? Yeah.
24.
The symbol that they have etched onto their shield looks like a rapier piercing like vertically through a rose with wasps surrounding it. And they are a follower of the Last Breath.
Which is a pantheon of gods.
Cool. All right, well, with that in mind, he does not convey that awkwardly to his colleagues. He just keeps that to himself. And Kruka did some searching. Sorry, did you turn anything up?
You were searching the walls. I saw Zori moving around the room as well. There was nothing for the walls, I'll tell you that.
One of these days.
If some of you spend a little bit of time searching like the beds and the footlockers, you scrounge together a measly 11 silver.
They don't really pay us. We don't get a lot of money. I've had to hide most of this within myself after finding it in bits and pieces.
Work is the real reward.
So I don't know who wants to add the 11 silver to their sheep, but you would imagine like they're in footlockers and stuff. So you imagine they're more like keepsakes for the creatures in here rather than anything of actual value to them.
Azori will take the 11 silver.
She would.
Yeah.
Follower of Rabadar. Of course she's going to take the coin if nobody else wants it.
I was just going to put it in the party loot, but you just hold on to it there.
Well, the party loot's an Otari.
Yeah.
I'm just skipping a step.
Don't metagame.
Whatever.
Somebody has to carry that bulk. Anyways.
Cheating the system.
All right. If everyone's prepared, I propose we keep this... is keep it pushing still a phrase?
I don't think it ever was.
Keep this party moving?
Oh, because we're a party of people and we need to move. Yes, yes, yes. We'll keep this party moving.
This caravan's a rockin'.
Tulok opens the door and steps into the octagon. The squared
Can
circle.
Can I do a society check to try and figure out where this lexicon is coming from?
Sure. Just quickly, because I stupidly removed the light instead of just deactivating it, it is back. See, I just don't know how to put it back on the map.
As Izori steps into the octagon room, Tulok shoots her a look.
She's staying well back this time, like inside the doors of the room at this point.
Trekka approaches and sticks his hand into the light. No, I can start.
Wait, please, Trekka, no.
And Tulok turns to Lump and says, lead the way.
Freeman, would I know anything about this door to the north?
You believe it just leads to one of the hallways connecting to the sort of circular chamber that you know about.
Yep. So Lump will listen at the door to see if anybody is setting up an ambush on the other side. Since we did trigger the alarm.
And that's the eastern door.
Sure. Yeah, you haven't detected. You don't detect anything. You don't hear anything.
Okay. I will push open the door and see another 10 by 20 foot hallway.
Indeed. 15 feet long, in fact. 10 feet wide to another set of double doors.
Tulok follows.
You give it another little listen and you don't really hear anything.
All right. Pushing open the door again. Stepping through.
So you step through as two more double doors to the west, or to the east, sorry. And the hallway turns to the north and opens to a nice, round, circular chamber.
I see potential problems to the north.
Here's the thing is, your light only extends so far, so I'm not sure, 100% sure if the vision's working correctly in Foundry. No. However... if Krukka does step out, he's got dark vision and can see a good distance.
Oh, yes.
And this place is basically... you can see... everyone can kind of see a glowing something, a glowing, like, red aura way to the north, well past this circular room, down a northern hallway, into another open chamber. And that is reflecting some shadows, some silhouettes you can see. But Krukka can see quite clearly that there is a Barbazu with his back to you way up there. And there are six Grothlets all lined up in front of the Barbazu.
And this would jar him enough to actually lower his voice enough to say, we best keep quiet.
The Barbazu is a good 85 feet from you right now, to the north.
Tulok, avoiding notice, continues to the next set of double doors and just opens it.
Okay.
Yeah, Krukka kind of nods them.
Open
along.
The eastern double doors.
Steps in.
You and step into
this room. Looks horrifying.
Uh-oh.
Very large room that has 15 transparent pillars that fill the center of it. It's a 30-foot high room, and a bright light shines down in the center of each of these little pillars and chambers. A catwalk about 10 feet above the ground circles the entire room. So just to your north is some steps up, just to your south as well. And there's a handrail or banister along its edges. And the western side... that's fine. A good number of these transparent pillars seem to be occupied by various creatures that are standing perfectly still. However, just to the north of you, and sort of, so there's like 3x5 pillars, so 3 across the north and then 5 from north to south. The northern westmost one is not glowing, and appears to have like been fire damaged,
burnt,
but all the other ones are glowing. And you can also see that like the northern middle one is empty, and the ones in front of you are filled with other creatures.
I feel like we saw something like this in Starfinder.
Not that I recall.
Well,
it's a museum.
Or they're breeding them here.
Is your last name Azuri Jones?
Wait, last name is Azuri Jones? Is Zori Azuri Jones?
Indiana Jones. It belongs in a museum. Never mind.
Well, no, I got the reference. I was just making fun of your question.
Sincerity. It looks like a museum.
Oh, no.
Like these are pieces on display, are they not?
Or in stasis of some kind.
Well, we're seeing duplicates, at least in the artwork.
No, some of them, yes. This one and this one. This one looks like it may have exploded.
You'll have to get a closer look on some of them. The one immediately in front of you, though, looks like this.
Oh.
Neck mouth.
Yummy.
Basically a four-armed creature that's all hairy and stuff, but the arm splits at the elbow as opposed to, like, having four separate full arms. And instead of a head, it's just got this big mouth at the top where its head should be. And there are these, like, little eyes along the edge of the mouth. But, yeah, it's just standing perfectly still.
Is there anything I can roll to try to identify it?
Yeah, you could roll an occultism.
Blind GM roll, go.
Tulok will aid.
Just roll your own.
Fine. Tulok rolls his own. 30.
Yeah, Lump's not sure. But Tulok knows that this is a Gug.
This is a Gug.
Gugs are horrible creatures. Very terrifying. They are just as I described. They seem bestial, but they are actually very keen and very intelligent. They usually lair very far underground. They might come to the surface to hunt, usually during dark nights, either alone or in small groups. They have a very voracious appetites, and most consume the creatures they catch, but some actually instead kidnap their victims and retreat below the surface, leaving only a lingering stench and odd claw print, paw prints. Yeah, they're about 16 feet tall. They weigh about 2,000 pounds.
Jesus.
Yep. They have a very light step, and they have a very odd ability. They're able to squeeze through a space for a medium creature, even though they are large, with incredible ease, because they have all these weird joints and stuff, so they can just, like, twist themselves through holes that are usually a bit too small for them. They're pretty vicious. They just basically attack with their claws, but they are very deadly.
So Tulok behind him notices that on the same wall as the double doors that came in is another door.
There is a single door there, yes.
I'm worried that these cages can be unlocked somehow from a distance. Perhaps we should check this door to make sure that there's no one here that could spring a trap on us.
Freeman, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
My uncanny awareness is letting me know there are things in that room.
Oh, is it like... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
when Tulok steps like to the door, I have motion sense.
Oh, you have like a... Is it automated for you?
Yeah.
Oh, Foundry's automated it. That's really cool.
I see it too. It is really neat. I sent a screenshot to the chat.
I could see them when I was clicking your character, but I didn't realize that was just for your character.
Yeah.
Man, Foundry's awesome.
It is. So as Tulok walks up to the door, Lump will just, like, quietly put a hand out, like, not touching him because they know they're gross, and just be like, hold on a second. There are others on the other side of the door. I don't know how to explain it, but I just know they're there. Is there anything you'd like to do to prepare before we go in?
Tulok kind of looks at him quizzically. How do you know that?
I don't know. The air currents or differences of pressure, I have no idea. It's something that's been a part of me for a while now.
All right, well, Tulok just grips on the wand, and he's ready.
Izori will draw her wand of magic missile.
Kirka, could you come here for a moment?
Of course.
Is it okay if I touch you?
Gross.
a moment's hesitation before another, of course.
Enjoy your heroism.
So just as you guys kind of are huddling together and getting yourselves kind of ready and in position, Izori, you notice the corner of your eye coming from behind you, this sort of green glowing tinge. And you slowly turn your head to look over your shoulder. And you know, like, when it's like really hot outside, you're looking down the highway in the distance, there's like that wavy heat in the air.
Yeah, the mirage.
You see that, but with these like flecks of green glow to them. And just as you kind of position yourself a little bit more to like get a better look at it, it suddenly materializes into this.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
And this humanoid-looking green flame creature just pops out of nowhere. And I need you all to roll initiative.
Tachyon Torch, what up? Izori, free action, is going to use her swaggering initiative to draw her rapier and add +2 to her initiative. Which doesn't get automatically calculated for some reason.
It's a circumstance, but I'm going to see how to kind of do that manually. Like, it's a reaction, so it's not just going to apply unless you have an effect to add to your token.
It's a free action.
It's got a trigger. It doesn't really matter. It's got a trigger, so, like, it's not going to automatically apply because it doesn't know when to apply it. Because you have to use it.
I'm just going to add it into my initiative.
All right. Let's get initiative. Who's up first? Izori, what'd you get?
19.
Okay. And Tulok?
21.
Trucka?
Red hot. Natty 1 for a 13.
Okay. Lump?
Red hot.
I rolled an 18 for a 34.
Woo!
Okie dokie, pretty damn good, but not good enough to beat this creature. And I need you all to roll me a will save.
No.
As this creature launches this cone of despair at you all.
Kruk and I are stupefied, so we'd prefer not to affect.
Yeah, gonna go ahead and sit this one out. But hey.
That's a too bad. That's gonna be a too bad. Lump, what'd you get?
I got a 12 for a 28.
Okay, so you are you've succeeded. For one round, you cannot use reactions and must attempt another save at the start of your turn. Okay, yeah, that's it. As like basically this morose feeling of despair kind of locks in on you. Let's see, who's next? Krukka?
10 on the die for a 22.
Okay, same deal, but you can't use reactions for a minute.
Oh man, I love reactions.
So no reactions for basically 10 rounds. Izori?
21.
Same. And Tulok?
18.
Same. And I just realized you all left Flashstrom Door behind.
Yeah.
So
I was
there
starting
he is.
To ask and I was like, oh,
And also rolls an 18, same. So Only Lump is for one round. Everyone else cannot use reactions for a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't like it.
That's fine with me. And so this big cone shoots out, and then this creature whips a hand forward and launches a bolt of green flame at Azori. That's going to be a 31 to hit.
It's not a magic missile, is it?
It's not.
That's a crit.
That's a crit. Okay, not looking good. You're going to take 34 points of damage, some of which is fire, some of which is negative.
Okay, so you're just going to take 33 then.
Okay, and I need you to roll me a will save.
That's even worse. That's a 15.
That's a 15. That is a critical failure. You, suddenly, as this hits you, you start to become wreathed in green flames. And let's see. Let me just double check here. So these sickly green flames go all around you. You can no longer be concealed. And should you go invisible, you would be concealed at best instead of undetected. And because you critically failed, you have a weakness to fire 10, which should be applied to your character right now.
Yep.
And this will last until it is removed.
Okay.
By what means? You don't know right now. Lump, you're up.
Holy water, best guess.
Lump is going to look at this creature and just glare at it intimidatingly with a single eye.
Okay. And while this thing was like casting this spell and like launching fire, it was just cackling. It's like...
That is a 33 to intimidate it.
33 against my will DC. That is a success.
Okay.
Let me just double check. It's not immune for some reason. Looks like you're good.
All right. And then I am going to cast Impending Doom.
Okie dokie. I feel like we've covered this before.
Yep.
You have come to the wrong place, creature. This will be your end. And I need a will save.
Will save coming from me. 22. Not great.
That is a failure.
Okay. What does that mean for me?
The creature is immediately off guard. On the second round, it becomes frightened 2. On the third round, it becomes stunned 1. And at the end of the third round, the creature takes full damage, which will be 66 damage.
Okay. So off guard right now. Again, listeners, that's the new parlance for a flat-footed. So minus 2 to its AC. That's your turn.
That is all 3 actions.
Good start. Tulok, what do you got? Don't forget about your flat checks.
Does Glash need to...
Oh, yeah, Glash needs to roll initiative. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, never mind, Tulok. It's Glash's turn.
All right.
Snuck in just before you.
Glash will go ahead and move 15 feet here and attempt to splash it with acid.
Okay.
That is a 3 on the die for a 17.
That's a big ol' miss. Okay, now Tulok, what do you got?
Okay, I would like to roll a recall knowledge on this son of a bitch.
That's going to be a occultism or religion.
Okay, will you roll an occultism for me, please?
Indeed I will. Indeed I will. You do not know.
Funny. Okay.
So sorry. Green, flaming, glowing, cackling creature.
It's a good laugh for you.
Thank you.
Tulok will cast Guidance on Azori, and he takes off 20 feet to between two of these blue cages, just to the south of the one he inspected originally, getting out of sight of the creature.
Cool. So technically, you can see through these. They're transparent pillars. This big creature is, stuck inside. They're basically transparent walls, so they grant a whole bunch of cover, but you're not out of sight, per se.
Okay.
But they are, effective full cover if you need. And that's your turn. I want to throw guidance in the chat there. And yes. Azoria, you're up.
Azoria, with her first action, she will recall knowledge and use that guidance for it if I can.
Okay. You also do not know.
Okay. Next two actions. The shadow below this firing creature begins to coalesce as she casts Malicious Shadow.
Wonderful.
So it will make a strike.
Real quick, didn't we need to roll will saves for reactions or something like that?
Oh, shit, you did. You did.
Well, I got a natural 20.
Shit, you did.
Roll back the clock. Natural 20, you are good, Lump. Throw me one there, Tulok. Yep.
Oh, fuck. And also, sorry, I need to roll a flat check for guidance. Right.
Okay. What'd you roll for the will save?
19.
That's a fail, which makes you slowed one for your turn. So what if you want, we can just hand wave guidance and let you move, or you can not move and you can roll the flat check or guidance. I'm being pretty generous with that.
Hand wave guidance.
Okay. Guidance didn't happen. It didn't help anyway. And Azori, roll me one, please.
16.
Okay, you were also slowed one.
Oh.
Yeah, so you only have two actions for this turn, which might have informed your want to recall knowledge. I don't know.
Yep, play this it right. Definitely would have. she'll stride right up. Fuck it.
She's getting right into the goods.
Stride right up and fuck it?
Worst Blink 182 album.
Okay. Krukka.
Would you say that this creature is incorporeal, or would you require a recall knowledge for that?
It's hard to say. It's like coalesced out of nothing, and it seems to be made of completely of fire. Okay. But you can't tell so
well,
far.
Well, fuck this then. He is going to change his grip on the Butchering Axe, free action, draw the Ghost Touch Whip, stride within or step within 10 feet, and whip out a Whip Krukka.
Okay.
A Whip Krukka.
A whip Krukka.
A whip Krukka.
26 to hit.
That hits.
So with the Ghost Touch Whip, it was 8 slashing.
Okay, 8 slashing damage. And it feels as though if everything goes through. You kind of snap this thing with your Ghost Touch Whip.
Will save for me, though, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, will save. Damn. So bad at
17.
That shit. Yeah, so that is failure as well, so you are slowed for this turn, which means you just get that, you get the free action, draw and then move, I guess maybe you didn't get to attack.
Yeah, I wouldn't get to attack.
Brutes. This is rough, top of the order is going to be I almost revealed its name, although you might not know it already. It is going to use its Witch Flame Caress and just swing one of its hands towards Azori. That's another 31 to hit. Azori, you really shouldn't be in melee. you take 52 points of damage.
Whoa!
Azori, go down?
Oh yeah, dying too.
What the fuck?
Not to mention the additional 10 you would have taken from your weakness to fire. And then this creature is going to vanish before your eyes as it casts invisibility. Fuck. Ba-bam.
That ain't good.
Lump.
I'm curious why I can't see. Oh, it's because it's a phantom. It doesn't make actual movement. I was like, why can't I see that? It's incorporeal.
Oh.
Alright. let's see. I have a pretty good idea of where it is. So I am going to stride over and just gonna go ahead and bash it with my Morningstar as I envision and my arm mutates into the Morningstar. And that will be a 4 on the die for a 21 to hit.
No dice, my friends.
Alright, and then last action, I will raise a shield. And let's see, I have one last action. Oh, my impending doom stuff happens. Frightened.
Oh, yes.
Two.
Now frightened too.
Yes.
Okay.
And still off guard. You know what? I'm just going to try again. Real quick, would the 21 have made
no
the frightened? Okay.
Just checked,
then yeah. A 16 will definitely miss, and that is my turn. Oh, wait, no.
Okay.
I strode, raised the shield. Yep.
Okay. Glashdrumdur, we forgot to do the will save for him at the beginning of his turn, too, but it doesn't really matter. He didn't really do much. Roll me another one now.
Okie dokie. That's a natural one.
Okay. Slowed one.
Yep.
Only has two actions.
He's just gonna go ahead and... Oh, God. Jeez. Zori being there is problematic.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. It's going to cast Acid Splash to the square behind where the creature was and just let the splash damage do the work for him.
Okay.
Just try to get some points on the board. 30. So it'll just be splash one damage.
All right. Splash one damage.
Does that put me to dying three?
No. I put it the square over here so that it would not do that. And that's his turn.
Okay. And Tulak. Things are looking dicey.
Okay, let's roll that will save.
Yes, please.
Oh, fuck. 14.
We're rolling like garbage. Yeah, slowed one. And, like, you slowed one because basically, like, you're filled, like, with despair. You're literally, like, tearing up as you're trying to, like, engage this thing. And, like, you feel, like, this overwhelming sadness. And you're all kind of, like, as it goes, you're kind of on the brink of tears, and you're eventually just going to be sobbing as you're fighting.
It's exactly what I feel like every time I'm at your table, Barn. And Tulak will continue around the outside of this glass cage of emotions. And I'm going to attempt to... I don't know what the word is for it, but I want to seek?
Okay.
To try to figure out where the creature is?
Lump is just going to, like, you see them swinging at this square right here.
You know what? I take it back.
Not going to move?
Okay. Not going to move in that direction. Tulak is actually going to wheel around the other side and is going to hit Azori with the healer's gloves.
All right. Good call.
Maybe good call.
How much healing?
17 points.
17 healing, okay. Zori starts awake, wounded one. And Krukka, roll me a will save.
16. So let me take...
Slowed one, yeah.
He will stride to the east of Zori and strike with the whip. In that northwestern direction, I guess. Or does he have to do like a seek to, or does he just flail?
Sorry, you're just gonna stride up and swing at that spot? Yeah. So you can swing at it. You basically just have a 50% miss chance. So you gotta roll a flat check, DC 11.
Also, I forgot to roll my flat check for that healing. I just rolled it right now, and we're good to go.
Okay.
8 on the flat check. So.
Ah, he's swinging a miss. That's you, eh? Move and streak, swing.
So, this is awful.
Top of the order is Zori on her back, gasping for breath.
25 for the will save.
Slowed one. Fail.
Jesus.
Okay, with her last two actions, she will cast Dispel Magic on trying to get rid of that invisibility.
Okay. You get a roll, a counteract check versus my spell DC.
Yep. 18. Hero point.
Okay, you're pointing that. Yeah, that was a pretty poor roll.
Natural 1.
Ooh, hate to see it, folks. hate to see
not,
it.
Not James' last few fights.
I'm honestly at the point where it's okay if you kill Izori. I'll miss her, but I do not miss this build.
Yeah, listeners, you can't see James right now, but he's leaned back in his chair looking frustrated.
Very resigned. yeah, not going to do it, of course. Next up, the creature appears to the east of Krukka, launching another bolt of green flame at him. And that's going to be pretty shit. 21 to hit.
Nope.
Followed by a 28.
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to take 14 damage, some of which is fire, some of which is negative. And as it cackles at you, I need you to roll me another will save, please.
Oh, I'm great at these. 25.
25 is a success. You are wreathed in the same flame as Izori was, but it's not quite as powerful. And it's going to only last for one round. And you've weakness 5 to fire.
Better not fly into a rage and like a trip or something.
Right. Okay. And that's its turn. Lump, you're up.
Lump is going to stride. Is this difficult terrain where the old case used to be?
No, the case is still there. It's just like not glowing and covered in fire. So the wall is still all around it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's still transparent.
Well, she's incorporeal, so I'm just going to stride through her.
Yep. Sure can.
And then I'm going to attempt to trip it, bashing it. I think you can trip it. Does it look like it's flying?
Oh, it's flying.
Okay, never
Definitely
mind. Then.
Flying.
Never mind. And then I will go ahead, raise the shield, and strike it with the Morning Star. And that's a natural 2 for 19. I will go ahead and hero point that. It feels like a good time to. A 34 to hit?
That is a crit.
Hey. Okay.
I do get the critical specialization because I am a war priest. And,
nice. So you're hitting with the Morning Star.
Yeah.
One and done. Let's go.
I knocked the target away from me up to 10 feet. I don't want to actually hit them any closer, so I'm just going to roll my critical damage for a 24 critical damage.
Okay.
And then that was 3 actions, so I'm done.
Okay, and even though you crit it, it doesn't feel like all the damage goes through. And Glass Drum Door will save.
Yep. 32.
Good. Full action turn.
Alright. Is going to stride up behind Izori and then apologizing to
I'm
Lump
sorry.
Is going to cast Acid Splash.
You mean Glash is gonna do
Glash is
oh,
gonna
apologizing
cast.
To Lump. Okay. Yeah. That was a really long, weird pause.
Yeah, sorry. I'm playing two characters that are both casters.
I'm sorry,
over here.
Lump. I'm sorry, Lump.
That's a 3 on the die for a 17.
Not gonna do it.
I think it still does the splash, though.
Still does a splash, yeah. Lump takes a splash. And this this creature doesn't appear to be affected by it.
Okay. That's his turn.
Tulok.
Jeez. This is tough.
This is right. Yep.
So I guess we'll start with a will save. 22.
Slowed one, sorry. 2 actions.
Tulok is going to use the magic missile machine gun.
One of manifold missiles.
That's right. Quick,
sorry, the impending doom. I think the mental damage. Goes
oh, it
off
should
now.
Have ticked. Yeah, okay. Should have ticked. Yeah.
So 66 for God, 13 points of damage.
Oh, that's a crap roll.
13 points
okay,
of mental damage.
13 points of damage.
Takes no damage. Fuck. Well,
wait. Oh, hold on. That's not true. I need to roll that from the spell itself.
Okay.
You rolled untyped damage. So
oh, okay, gotcha. There it is. Damage.
Much better roll with the 29.
29. I'll take it.
Never punished.
Okay, there you go. Not all of it goes through, but a good hit. Yep. Okay, now what do you got, Tulak? Does that end impending doom now?
It does.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So no longer flat-footed and frightened?
Correct.
Okay.
I would like to clarify real quick with the Wand of Manifold Missiles. So essentially, I cast Magic Missile at the first level.
Yep.
And then after you cast a spell, an additional missile or missiles are released from the wand at the start of each of your turns as though you cast first action Magic Missile. Okay?
Yeah.
So if I, because it says missile or missiles, that leads me to believe that.
Yeah, so that's if it was heightened, it would be missiles.
Yeah.
But it's not, right? What you were saying earlier, before, yeah.
Copy that.
So it's a level one, so it's just going to be a missile at the start of every of your subsequent turns.
Okay, so I'm going to use it, the wand itself, I will use twice for two actions now.
Oh, you're going to spend two actions now, okay.
Yeah, because it's just the standard spell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so two actions of the magic missile. That's going to be 9 points of damage enacting the manifold, and that is it for my turn.
Bam, bam. Perfect. Awesome. And make a little note for yourself that those are going to keep going off. Krukka will save.
Do I have to say this nat one out loud?
I'd just be happy that it's not worse on the nat ones right now.
So still just slowed one?
Yeah, you're just slowed two.
Slowed two?
Or slowed one, sorry. Slowed one, two actions. Okay. I keep mixing it up in my head.
So this time, now that he knows what's going on, he will fly into the rage.
Okay.
He will do it without going into the dragon instinct, so he will not be dealing fire damage like a smart guy, and then he will strike out with...
Like a smart guy.
Strike out with the ghost touch. Yeah. Strike out with the ghost touch whip from where he's standing.
Use your words, yeah.
I don't even know why I bothered using those words, because it was a 22 to hit.
That's a miss. Izori.
It's a 30 on the will save.
You're good. Three actions.
She will stand with one action, and then two action, she will cast Phase Bolts.
Okay.
It's a 16 to hit.
That's a miss.
Okay.
This creature is going to swing its witch flame caress at Lump for a 38 to hit.
Oh my god. Bar.
Oh, damn. That's a crit.
Two crits.
Yep.
It's 26 damage. Fire and negative.
Sorry, that is not a crit. For some reason, my sturdy shield has not been held the entire time, despite me saying it was. My AC's 29. That is not a crit.
Nailed it. Okay, in that case, you're just going to take 13 then.
Okay.
But I need you to roll me a will save as these flames try to cling to your body.
Okay. That is a 18 on the die for a 34.
That is a... success. So you are wreathed in flames and you have a weakness to fire 5 for one round.
Alright.
It was also for one round for Krukka, right?
Yeah.
Earlier, so that's now removed. Okay, and this thing is going to... It is actually now going to spend two actions and like raise its hands like... And you could feel the fire on you start to burn brighter and crackle louder. And I need you to roll me a fortitude save as this fire that hasn't been doing damage to you starts to heat up all over your person.
Okay. Lump just mean mugs the fuck out of her. I've felt hotter in the flesh warping process than this. And rolls a natural 20 for a 35.
Whoa! Get some, Lump.
So basic save means no effect. Oh, that is wicked. Okay. And Lump, you're up. You total badass.
Lump is going to, for three actions, cast a heal in her face. And, oh, wait. I have a thing. One second. Cool. Okay. I am going to use a three-action heal. So, everyone, I need a basic fortitude save from her as well.
Okay. Do fortitude save 17, natural 2.
Okay. That is a failure, so she will take 24 points of positive damage. Kruka, let me go ahead.
Okay, 24 members. Points, and yeah. You can, let me just check. Okay, yep, yeah, awesome. Okay. You can tell all that goes through.
Okay. Kruka will also heal for 24. Zori will heal for 24. I don't know if Tulok will.
It's kind of a... I mean, Tulok's full anyway, so...
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
It's a bit moot, yeah.
Okay.
I'm down one.
I hate it here.
You don't get it. You don't get it back. Screw you.
No, I know.
You meant Tulok's full of it.
We'll talk. We'll talk if you die by one hit point, okay? We'll talk.
I also attempt to burn her, but I am assuming she's immune to fire. As my cremate dead, undead goes indeed. Off. Positive energy sets undead alight. When I use a heal spell to damage undead, each undead that takes damage also takes persistent fire damage.
It doesn't appear to affect it, yes.
At least it doesn't heal it.
Okay, that is all three of my actions.
Okay. Glastrum Dur will save.
28.
28 is a meet to beat, not slowed one.
Woo! Alright.
That's your goal there, friends.
Glash is going to stride through his new friends and cast Shocking Grasp. Reach me out to touch base.
All right. Off guard from flanking.
That is a 9 on the die for a 23 to touch.
No. I'm afraid not.
Well,
Good effort.
I did my best.
It's worth mentioning that Glashmador did have the weak template, but is only a level 5 creature normally.
Okay. Wait. Is she wearing any metal?
No. Tulok, will save. Also, missile goes off.
Yep. That is a 22 on the will save.
That is a fail. You are slowed.
You take 5 points of damage.
All right.
And Tulok would like to... Now, if you'll allow it, can I cast telekinetic projectile at this creature? I can see through.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to give it that plus 1 of its AC because it's like behind a whole bunch of shit.
30 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
Let's go.
21 points of bludgeoning damage as a tile comes down upon
it. Big one.
Okay. Bam. Hits it. Not all of it goes through, but you are starting to pick this thing down. Kruka, will save. Go.
22. 2 actions. Fucking suck it. Burn. Ghost touch. Whip. Cross. Flash from Dur. So is that lesser cover
yep.
because he's a little guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. 31 to hit.
Still hits. You're rolling good now.
I believe gnomes are wee.
11 points of ghost touchy slashiness.
All right. Yep. Good go. Izori.
That was only one action.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Roll again there. Like.
One more whip crucker. 16 does not do it.
16 does not do it, no.
I got to jump in here, and I don't want to do this, but I missed on my flat check for that magic missile.
Duh.
I rolled a 2, and I need to hit a 7.
Undo some of that damage. No, that was for his telekinetic projectile.
Oh, he said magic missile. That's what I was saying.
Well, shit.
Yeah. Well, shit. Okay, now it's Azori.
25 on the will save.
Yep, slowed. Wait, let me double check. I'm dealing with two different DCs here. Yeah, slowed.
Phase bolt,
go.
23 to hit.
No, I'm afraid. The struggle is real.
I don't think I've rolled higher than a 9 today.
Yeah. It's been real bad on your end. It's crazy.
James like, pulls out a Game Boy.
You've not done anything that's not useful. It just hasn't had the impact that we need.
That's fine. Working on my
the way the cookie
here.
Crumbles. Yeah.
James is just streaming building James a backup character right now unbeknownst to us.
On YouTube. Go check it out.
Yeah. That'd be so good. Just like, okay, so I've muted my mic again, guys. I'm ready to go over to the next step.
This creature starts with R and rhymes with mastermind.
Mastermind.
Geneticist?
This creature is going to... What am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and... I'm going to cast a spell on Lump. I need a will save, please.
That is a 13 for a 29.
Damn. You take 11 mental damage as this thing casts Phantom Pain on you. And then it swings a hand around to hit... Glastromdur with its witch flame caress for a 23 to hit.
That hits.
Glastromdur. Okay, thank you. 19 damage for Glash. And I need a will save.
Okay. That is a 7 for a 21.
21. Okay, has failed, is also kind of a light on fire, and will be until it is removed. Okay. Just like Azori. And Lump, you're up.
All right. Lump is... I'm going to go ahead and cast Disrupt Undead.
Oh.
So I need a basic fortitude save.
Basic fortitude, 25.
At 25 is a success.
Okay. That means I'm unaffected, or?
It's a basic fortitude save, so you're going to take half. Oh, it'll right. Be 21, 10. And then I'm going to bash you with my beating stick.
Okay.
At no man. 28 to hit off guard.
That hits.
16 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Now, I'm quite sure I missed this at some point, but for the most part, I haven't. It does have an attack opportunity when hit with a melee strike. I chose not to use it earlier when it was invisible, but I actually don't think you hit it anyway. So a creature makes a melee strike, so it didn't have to hit. It chose not to, so it didn't want to reveal itself. But it is going to now swing at you for a 30 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. So 17 damage, and you also need to roll a will save again.
That is a 4 for a 20.
Okay, failure. You just like Azori and Glash now, wreathed in flame, and will not be removed until you figure out how to do that.
Okie dokie.
Okay, that's you?
That is all three actions.
All right, it's Glash. Will save.
Will save. Glashy. A 23.
Two actions.
All right. Just gonna get out of there. I think he's just gonna get out of there because he doesn't have any more offensive spells, and I don't think ventriloquism's gonna help much here. So
okay, yeah.
And then what do I have for skills? Is there any knowledges that I could roll to know more about this?
It's occultism or religion. Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't have any of that. We'll spend last action crying.
Weeping uncontrollably. All right, Tulok.
All right, Tulok is going to cast blindness.
Okie dokie.
So,
what? Flat check go.
Oh yeah, flat check first. Let's go, baby.
Oh, actually, first things first. Shoot your missile off.
Right. 5.
5 damage, okay.
Passes the flat check. How about a will? Did I roll the will already?
No, you didn't.
25.
25 is Still no dice, so two actions.
Okay, so the blindness. So please roll me a fortitude.
You got your flat check?
Yep.
Okay, not great. 17.
Ooh, you are blinded for 1 minute.
Okay, what level are you casting this at?
Level 3.
Okay, so it has the incapacitation, which means I am more than double the spell level. So it's going to boost a degree of success.
So you are blinded until your next turn begins.
Okay. There we go. We finally figured this one out. Blinded. Okay, till the beginning of my next turn. So again, effectively off guard to all your attacks right now. Krukka, what you got? Besides a will save.
15. Hey, look who has two actions. Yeah, two cracks of the whip. First crack of the whip is a 27 to hit.
That hits off guard.
10 slashing.
Okay.
Of the ghost touchy variety. Map minus 5, 26 to hit.
That hits off guard.
11 ghost touchy slashy.
Oh, man. Very good. Very good.
How many hit points does this thing have?
Holy Zori.
More than 21.
You got
21 for the will save.
Two actions.
To cast Warp Step on herself and move the full 40 feet.
Okay. Okay, Warp Step. Have you used this before? I think you did, didn't you?
I don't know if I have. So I gain a 5-foot status bonus, making my speed 20 feet.
Okay.
Or sorry, 30 feet. And then I stride twice, essentially.
Okay, so you're just loop. You're moving like 40 feet to loop around and get to one side of this creature.
Yep.
Without blocking Krukka. Cool.
Exactly.
Right, that's you. Next up is the Warden, who is going to... Ooh, ooh. It's a Witchfire Warden, by the way. Keep avoiding it. It always slips out at some point. Who is now going to...
No longer blind.
Oh, yeah, he's no longer blind. That was actually clutch. Both attacks hit because of that for Krukka. Oh, I guess they were already flanking anyway, but still good. Witchfire Warden is going to redouble his efforts on you, Lump. Roll me another basic fortitude save as the flames around you start crackling again.
That's a 30.
Okay, so success, you're going to take half this. So you're going to take 18 damage.
Okay.
And it is going to take... it's going to take a swing at you after that for a 35 to hit.
That'll
okay,
hit.
Okay, just a hit?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you have 29. 21 more points of damage. Actually, make that 26. Yeah, because you have weakness 5. Perfect. That was probably added on to the other one as well, eh?
Yep.
Okay. Lump.
Lump. Just getting real tired of it. Do I have 3 action again? Or do I just 2 action myself? I'm going to 3 action it. We'll get some damage on the board here with it. So I need another basic fortitude save from it. Real bad roll.
Okay, so you're doing a 3 action heal again?
Yep.
Okay. So 3 action heal bursts out, and this wave of healing kind of ekes around the corner and hits Zori for how much healing?
18 points. As my shield glows.
It is going to reach Glash, but Glash also gets healed for that much. And as you, as it hits the Witchfire Warden, it just cackles. It just bursts into a bunch of like green embers floating all over the place. You could hear that echo of the cackle bounce between all these transparent pillars and all through this big hall. And the sound of flames just kind of dies out into the silence here, and you just are standing there, some of you still aflame without any heat or damage. And we'll figure what the hell that is next time, so we're going to call it there.
Stemming the Tide is an actual play podcast of the Adventure Path Abomination Vaults and is produced by the Uncharted North Network. Stemming the Tide uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc., used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Stemming the Tide is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit Paizo.com. Music is composed by Will Savino and artwork by Greyhood. Stemming the Tide is recorded remotely using Foundry Virtual Tabletop. If you wish to connect with us or support this project and projects to come, we can be found at unchartednorth.ca, patreon.com/unchartednorth, and on all major social media platforms. Links to all credits can be found in the episode description and our website. Thanks for tuning in.